He is going to sing it. Listen carefully to the words.
Soft as the voice of an angel, breathing a lesson on earth. Oh, with a gentle persuasion, whispers her comforting words. Wait till the darkness is over. Wait till life's tempest is done. Oh, for the sunshine tomorrow, after the shower is gone.
Faith gives us hope that's anchored in the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord for that, ain't it? Thank you, graduates, and turn to the First Timothy chapter 4. Today being Graduate Sunday, I want to remind you of a couple things. One, graduates, you're beginning a new chapter in the journey of your life through this world. I said that a while ago. With that also, you're making choices right now that affects your present testimony and affects your future life. What kind of a person are you going to be? More specifically, what kind of a Christian are you going to be? It's important to realize that the choices that you make an impression upon others. It affects your testimony before them. On our road to godliness that we've been studying here in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, I remind you, says that we're to exercise thyself unto godliness, for godliness is profitable unto all things. And then in verse 12, he listed six areas of life that we should be a good example of a godly believer. And we've already looked at all of these except for one. And the first one was to be an example in your word. That is what you say and what you don't say. And everything that comes out of our mouth is to be for the purpose of edifying, that is to building up or benefiting another person spiritually. We're to be an example in our conversation, our behavior, specifically in our behavior as representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ. To be an example, thirdly, in love, our agape love, God's kind of love. Love for God, love for unbelievers, and love for the lost. We're to be an example in spirit, an excited, enthusiastic spirit. I asked you when we talked about that, do you contribute to our church having an exciting worship spirit when we sing, when we praise the Lord together? Or do you come in and sit there like a knot on a log and say nothing, do nothing? Well, please recognize God wants us to have an enthusiastic spirit. I shouldn't say this. Don't take it the wrong way. Even if you got faith. No, that's hypocritical. I want you to be excited, really. I want you to be genuine in your heart. I want it to come. You know, sometimes we don't feel so energetic. Sometimes we don't feel, I'll hear the wilds camping with me and our leader to go back. We don't feel very energetic. And sometimes we have to tell ourselves to suck it up and muster in and get it and get going. And that's what I'm talking about. And so sometimes even when we don't feel like it, we ought to have that excited, enthusiastic spirit. We're to do everything with all of our heart unto the Lord. And then we saw that we were to be an example when it comes to our faith, believing and trusting God when we can't see for ourselves. When we can't see for ourselves. It also involved faithfulness, consistently living the way that God would judge is correct. Not your opinion about what's correct, somebody else's, but what does God say is correct? And are you living in a way that He would say you're faithfully, consistently living the way I want you to? We have those choices laid before us. And so today, this morning, we're looking at this last area of verse 12, dealing with being an example of a godly believer in the area of purity. It's one of the most important subjects that we can speak of, especially not just this morning, but in this time in our society, because it's one of the most attacked areas that you'll find in the Christian life today. Adrian Rogers made this statement. He says, everything that is not nailed down is coming loose. And the devil is pulling nails as fast as he can. Look around us. Our society, in its moral standards,
is coming unraveled quickly. And we're seeing it all around of us, and the danger is that as believers, we're going to buy into some of that. We're going to have some of that rub off on us. Excuse me. And it's going to affect us as believers. Things bought in a garage sale don't usually end up on the news. But a Chinese bowl bought by a New York family in 2007 became famous on April of 2013. The new owners paid just $3 for what turned out to be a bowl from the Northern Song Dynasty that was more than 1,000 years old. Until someone told them what they really had, the family had the bowl stuck up on the mantle over their fireplace. When they placed the bowl with Sotheby's auction house for sale, it was estimated to go for approximately $200,000. Instead, a dealer from London purchased it for more than $2 million. When I read that, here's the thought that came across my mind. If that family, that person that put that in the yard sale and sold it for $3, heard this story, they would die. Thinking, I didn't know what I had. I didn't know how valuable it was. And here I just practically gave it away for nothing. You see where I'm going with this? Our purity is the same way. The world discounts it and says, hey, it's not important. It's not valuable. And when it is given away, there comes a time that we look back and we say, had I known how valuable my purity was, I would have not departed with it so cheaply. It's important for us to realize that as Christians, we can be deceived into thinking that tragic thought. Martin Luther, not the king, Martin Luther made this statement. He says, peace if possible, but purity at all costs. Peace if possible, but purity at all costs. Whatever it takes, we need to recognize that we should value and protect our purity in our lives. Therefore, the scripture says, exercise thyself reverent to godliness and be an example in purity. Father, I pray that as we look into your word this morning, that we would not only just understand this brevity of thought about the importance and value of our purity, but Lord, how do we get there? What do we do if we've blown it? Lord, I pray that you would guide me in what I'm going to say, that your word would be clear unto us, and that we would listen carefully to respond. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want us to look first at some basic things about purity. The importance of purity is first there. It is important because it's God's purpose for us. We're told in Titus 2 and verse 14, he says that the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. You know, one of the reasons that God saved us was not just to get us into heaven, to have fellowship with us there in heaven, but he saved us to purify us right here practically in this world. Not just positionally, but practically every day, purity. It's the purpose that God has for us. It not only is the purpose, but it is God's command. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 19 and 22, as James read for us just a few minutes ago, let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Name the name of Christ. I testify that I know the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior. I'm naming the name of Christ. Let every person that says I'm a Christian depart from iniquity. That's what the scripture says. Flee, verse 22. Flee also youthful lust, and follow after righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Again, Adrian Rogers made the statement. He says, the sin of immorality is not one that we're instructed to fight. It's one in which we have been told to flee. flee also youthful lust, we read.
We're to depart from iniquity. It's important for us to see this importance. It's also an example of purity that we need to recognize. One of the men in the scripture came to my mind, and his name is Joseph. And remember Joseph in Genesis 39, how that his brothers had sold him into slavery into Egypt to get rid of him. And God there raised him up, and he became a steward in the house of Potiphar. And Potiphar put him in charge of everything in his household. Everything was under his authority, under his control, except for Potiphar's wife. And Potiphar's wife wanted Joseph and tried to get him to lie with her. And he would not, to the point where at one point that he even left his jacket behind him and took off running to get out. He had to flee youthful lust. What was it about Joseph's purity that we should emphasize? And I believe it is the point that he desired it so much. He desired to remain pure. Whatever the cost, he was going to get away, he was going to remain pure. Until one desires purity, they will not maintain purity. We have got to really want it ourselves, to desire it. The world says, hey, everybody's doing it. It's no big deal. But God says, flee youthful lust. Lest anyone misunderstand, flee youthful lust is not a command that's just to the youth. Us old men and women can have youthful lusts. We're all to flee youthful lusts. We're to flee anything that brings about impurity in our life. So there's the importance of purity, there's the example of purity, there's also a decision of purity. And according to Daniel 1:8, it needs to be a decision we make in advance. Daniel 1:8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself a portion of the king's meat nor with wine in which he drank. He purposed in his heart, he made up his mind in advance that he would not defile himself. It is committing to purity before you get into the pressure situation. It's a must. Because if we don't, we're setting ourselves up to fail. What is your standards, young people, when it comes to dating? What's okay, what's not okay? Where's the line drawn? If you haven't drawn it, if you're not clear on that, you are set up right now for failure. And it's possible that some of you have already failed. You know that when it comes to pornography today, that we're dealing with some elementary children? Parents, be aware. We have impurity because there's no decision made in advance of what we will and will not do. There was a man, King Rehoboam, in 2 Chronicles 12:14, he says that he did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. He wasn't prepared in advance. It must be not only a decision that we make in advance, but it must be a decision that's of determination. Job 31:1, I made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I think of a man? I made a covenant with my eyes. I made up my mind in advance. David, once he had learned his lesson, King David, Psalm 101, excuse me, verse 3, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. He learned his lesson. He made his choice. A determination in decision. Making our decision in advance. Example of purity, desiring it, and the importance of it. Not only the basics of purity, but look at the realms of purity. What areas of life does purity include? Well, most of the time when you think about purity, you think about sexual sins. But it includes all areas of our life. Over in Matthew chapter 15, any sin makes us defiled before God. Matthew 15 and verses 18 and following, Jesus is speaking and he says, "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man." What are some of the things that come out of the mouth from the heart? What are some things that come out of our life from our mind, our heart? "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man." You know, that list is not exhaustive. It's suggestive. The things, everything Jesus had said, proceeds from within. And they're the things that defile a man. So we have two realms to think about when it comes to things that defile people. Things that cause us to lose our purity. The first one is the external realm, and then guess what the second one is? You ain't got it. I tell you, y'all so smart. You're wonderful. But the external realm, the things that man looks at, that people see in our life or hear from us, it involves the words that we say, it involves the things, the deeds that we do. People judge you by what they hear you say and by what they see you do. And guess what? Unfortunately, they judge the Lord Jesus Christ the same way. By what they hear you say and what they see you do. "I'm a Christian," we say. But then remember, people are watching you. They're watching you at work. They're watching you at school. They're watching you and your family, your friends. The external realm. People judge you based on what they hear you say, what they see you do. The internal realm. You remember, as God told Saul that he was not going to be king anymore, and God sent Samuel to anoint the next king, and he went to the household of Jesse, and and he caused the sons of Jesse to come before him. And he made a great statement. God did. He says, "Don't look upon his stature because I've refused him. He's not the one." The first one, he was a big guy. He looked good. Kind of like Saul, the way Saul looked. And they said, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. God sees what's on the inside. And the inside is very important. Matthew 12, 34, Jesus said, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." Out of the abundance of the heart, he said, well, go, everything else stems out of. Proverbs 23:7, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." The things that we have come from our inside, from our heart, primarily that of our mind, they affect us. So then we can reason and get to it in a moment that the things we think about, the things that we put into our mind, are extremely important because they go to whether or not we're going to remain pure or whether we're going to lose our purity. We must guard our heart, our mind. Proverbs 4:23, "Keep your heart. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Guard what goes into our life, our minds there. Living external lives of purity because of internal heart is pure is obviously important. It's needful. But the question is, how do we do it? So I want to spend the next few minutes here just looking at how do we maintain purity. The principles, the disciplines of purity.
As with any sin, purity can be dealt with in two areas, two primary areas. One is called remedial. That's after you've blown it. What do you do at that point? One's called preventative. What do you do to keep from blowing it, keep from losing your purity? So let's look at the remedial first. After that we have sinned, what if purity has been lost? Number one, understand the damage of impurity. Understand the damage of impurity. Number one, we lose our fellowship with God. It's broken, just like with any sin. Isaiah 59:2, your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sin and hid his face, and he will not hear from you. Iniquity, sin, separates between us and God. When I lose purity, when you lose purity, we lose fellowship with God. Number two, testimony is lost, as I said a while ago. You can't be an example of the believers and be impure. It doesn't work. You cannot be a witness to the lost and be impure in their eyes. It doesn't work. You have got to live a life of purity in order to have the opportunity to witness and have opportunity of testimony to be followed. Thirdly, understand the damage of impurity, that our innocence is lost. Inexperience. Let me speak just a moment concerning virginity that I've explained before. It's kind of like a Christmas gift. Can you imagine that here you are as a young person, let's say, and you wake up on Christmas, there's been something that you've been wanting to have as a gift. You look at the package a little bit and you think, I think that's the gift that I've been expecting and wanting and hoping for. And so you go in Christmas morning, and as you get there and you look, somebody has unwrapped most of the gift, and you can tell it's been taken out and played with, and you think, who ruined my surprise? Who ruined my gift to me? There we are with virginity. God has, for each one of you that are not married, God has a person for you to marry. And you are to stay pure for that individual, and you're to pray to God that they stay pure for you. That's your responsibility. And so don't be one that just thinks it's not important, it's not valuable, no matter what the world may say, and give it away so cheaply to one day wake up and realize that it's sold for $2 million. It was valuable, and I didn't know it. Understand the damage of impurity. Then understand the cure for impurity. There's a spiritual cure. Repentance and confession. That's true for any sin that we commit. When we repent, that means to change our mind about face. I don't want that anymore. I want to be pure before the Lord. We confess it unto Him. We tell Him what we've done. He already knows, but He wants to hear it from us. That we confess our sin unto Him, He's faithful and just to forgive us. Then we need to recommit to living pure before Him. You know, there's damage that's been done. I think about it as something simply as a vehicle. Years ago, Vicki's 05 Freestyle, she was going down 288, and as it is in late day, a lot of traffic, a lot of brake lights. Anyway, she was in left-hand lane, I believe it was, and everybody started stopping, and so she started stopping, and somebody coming to back of her. All right, fortunately, she was not hurt. I think it was several $1,000 damage to the back of the car. That could be fixed. But you know what could be fixed? When you go to sell it, it's been a damaged car. Carfax shows it's been in an accident. I just bought a vehicle. You know, one of the first things that I did for everything that I saw online, I looked, what has been an accident? Why? Because I don't want it. Why? Because I don't know the baggage that's going to come along with that previous injury to that vehicle and what it's going to cost me. Folks, there we are in the relationship. There may be some things that are still residual. We're to recommit and we're to begin the preventative that we'll get to in a moment. And then there's the physical cure. As I said, that in some cases there is no cure. For instance, there's the consequences of sin that sometimes, no matter how much we repent and confess and want it to be gone, those consequences still may be there. It may be an STD, a virus that you just can't get rid of. It may be a broken relationship because of what happened. Now, there's been a loss in that relationship. I thought of a young man that because of something that he was into on the internet, he lost his wife, he lost his children, he lost his job, he lost his freedom, went to prison, and he has lost his future because now he's labeled as a sex offender, and it affects everything that he wants to do. No matter how much he may repent and confess of that, those things are not going to change. It's gone. There are some things in the physical life that you can't remedy after the mistake. Yeah, you can be forgiven. You can be restored in relationship and fellowship with the Lord. And then there's some things only time can heal. You know that to build trust in another person, it takes time. Well, let me tell you something. To build retrust takes even longer. When you've blown the trust, and now you want to try to build that trust back, it takes even longer than it did the first time. Because it's always in the person's mind. I know people right now in marriages where a husband or a wife was unfaithful, and they worked hard and saved the marriage to continue. But to this day, if he or she is not where they said they would be at a certain time, there's that question. What's going on? Because those things don't just change because you say, I'm sorry. They don't just change because you repent and confess to the Lord. There are some things that stick. It's so important to realize the damage of impurity. Then there's not only the remedial, the what you work with those that have blown it, but what about before you sin, the preventative? This is so important to have. It deals with what you feed your mind, as I said earlier. In Proverbs 4:8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Put those kind of things in your mind. What are some things that we should be putting in our mind? Where do they come from? Well, you can find them on TV. You can find them in news. You can find them on video games. I tell you, I'm not in video games, but I know that some people are hooked on them. I just talked to somebody who just said that they were hooked on them here recently, have been in the past. I understand. Thank God it's not my personal understanding. But I understand that there's some of the video games out there that young people are involved in that's next to pornography. Some of the illicit
pictures and positions that come up. Parents, be careful with what goes on in your households. But the filthy speech and actions that you can see on TV and in movies, etc., there, phones, tablets, internet, the information highway has many benefits, but it has many downfalls. We need to understand that the inroads to our life and the things that we're putting into our mind, things that in some cases cannot be unseen, that we've got to realize the dangers of what we're doing. We're thinking on the wrong things. And there's a wrong mentality. Have you ever heard this mentality? I pray nobody in here has it. But as give warnings such as this, and a person thinks in their mind, yeah, I understand what you're saying, but that will never happen to me. You know what God says to you if you have that mentality? Proverbs 14:16 says, the wise man fears and departs from evil, but the fool rages and is confident. The fool says, Lord, I know that's true in some people's lives, but that'll never happen to me. I'm confident. I can handle it. You can't handle it. Don't trust me. Trust God. He's the one that said it. Not only deals with what we spend our time thinking about and putting in our mind there, but it deals with whom we spend our time with. I'm not going to spend a lot of time with this. Right friends or wrong friends. Proverbs 13:20. He that walks with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Who do you hang with? What kind of mouth do they have? What kind of things do they show? What kind of things do they do? It also deals with preparation for or preparation against sin. Don't plan to sin. That would make you be obvious. But Scripture says in Romans 13:14, make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Don't make it easy for your flesh to have its way. You know what your flesh wants. Then don't set it up to get what it wants. Take the precautions. Do plan not to sin. Control what you feed your mind. Control what your friends who you hang out with. And choose in advance for purity. My time is gone. Every head bowed, please. I just want you to bow your head. I want you to close your eyes. I don't want you looking around thinking about anybody else. Just about you. I want to speak to you, first of all, about those that know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You would say to me, Pastor, I'm sure that I have already made a choice to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. You're saved from the penalty of your sin. I want to speak to you just this moment here. Will you commit to purity? I don't care if you've committed in the past. I don't care if you've got a little ring or a bracelet or a necklace or something that says you committed to, but will you recommit right now? Guess what? My question would be, will you recommit tomorrow? You know, we have to do it every day. It's not just a one-time thing. We need to have that one-time commitment, but we need to recommit and recommit, redecide every day. Commit to be pure. And if you've blown it, if you've already messed up, then take the steps to recommit to that purity. It'll never be what it could have been. But don't keep giving it away in impurity. And then for those of you that would say, Pastor, I could not identify myself with those that know for sure that they trusted Jesus Christ. Now, you believe in God and so forth, but you just don't know for sure that if you died right now, that you go to heaven. Could I say to you, that this message about purity is not meant for you today. I'm not trying to convince you to clean up your life before you come to God, because that's the wrong mentality. God says that He wants you to come to Him first for salvation. Then He will help you clean up your life in purity. That's what He promises to do. Will you make the choice to come to God for that salvation today? If so, we can have someone take you aside and help you in making that choice clear for you to make before you leave today. Don't put it off any longer. Father, I pray for each one of us, wherever we are in the spectrum that we have talked about, Lord, I pray that we would leave out of here with a commitment to be pure before You, that we could be an example of the believers in godliness by having this pure life. And Lord, for any that need You as their Savior, may they make that choice before they leave out of here today. In Jesus' name we ask.